It's SC Wild with Major Billy Downer from the Department of Natural Resources. Major Downer is here to answer your questions about the great outdoors. Call in now at 888-898-2525 and join SC Wild on the Sports Talk Media Network.
Okay, it is time for another edition of SC Wild from the Department of Natural Resources. Here on Sports Talk, we shift gears, but not really shifting a whole lot. Football, hunting, fishing, the great outdoors, they all kind of go together. Major Billy Downer is with us. If you want to join in with a comment, question, phone number 888-898-2525, also text message at 803-900-4847. Major, great to have you with us once again. And, of course, it is football season here in South Carolina. Everybody's excited about that. But kind of going hand-in-hand with that, we've got hunting season around the state. A lot of different things going on, great outdoors. Absolutely. And you've got a special guest to bring in as well.
I do. I have one of our small game biologists, Sarah Pessy's with us. She's going to join us just here in a second, and we're going to talk about doves and the migratory bird season and dove banding. We've talked about that in the past, but we're going to get a few more interesting factoids for folks out there that may not know a few things about our mourning dove population. Mm-hmm. Mourning dove, the season, of course, opens up September 1st, right around the corner. And you're right, Phil, the deer season has begun. It's in full swing in the Lowcountry on August the 15th. And we're not far from it here in Game Zone 3 as well, going to as far as being the Sumter, Clarendon area up the upper part of the coast. It'll be in September the 1st again. So deer season's in right now in our lower coastal areas, Orangeburg and below down to Hampton County. Season's in full swing. So, yeah, it's your chance this time of year probably to get a buck that's in velvet, kind of that prize for most folks. You have to take a deer early to see that. Again, it's only right now. So you're limited there, just bucks only, does not until September 15th. But, yes, mourning dove season, and we just finished our banding time period for mourning doves here just about last week, actually. So I want to welcome Sarah in. Sarah, thanks for joining us tonight.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And, Phil, she comes from a small school, mm-hmm, in Maryland. You guessed, and you were wrong.
Okay. Well, the hint was they play football, okay? So it's a small school, plays football in Maryland. So I took a shot correct. At Towson.
You'd be the guy. You'd be the guy to know. Just
but that's not it. Okay, what is the school?
It sort of rhymes with frostbite, but not really. Frostburg State University.
Okay. I would not have guessed.
Frostburg State. Yeah. She got her undergraduate there and then got her master's degree at a very football-heavy school in the coal mining country, and that would be West Virginia University, of course. Mm. West Virginia. So she got her master's there. So, Sarah, let's talk about dove banding. You've kind of been over or really leading that project now for how many years?
So this is just my second year now.
All right. Well, you've been doing a great job in 2 years, and I have not been doing so well. I've banded birds now for probably 10 or 15 years, and the last three I've been 0 for 0. This year finally broke back out and banded some birds. But talk about banding for a minute, Sarah. What is the purpose of putting leg bands on mourning doves? What are we trying to find out there?
Yeah, so when we put the bands on them with the intention that when hunting season begins, when hunters go out and they shoot a banded dove, they can report it on reportband.gov, and then we can use that data to get an idea of what percentage of the population is harvested every year.
All right, so that's a great point. So for years, most dove hunters have heard that 80% of the population died anyway, so it didn't really matter what our limit was. That's not the case. I know that we've noted in recent history or in recent studies that hunting has a higher percentage of the mortality rate. And you were telling me some of the interesting facts about doves. So since 2003, you said how many birds have been banded in South Carolina?
So we don't have final numbers from this year yet, but we're just over 37,000 doves banded since 2003.
All right. And out of those 37,000 doves, how many have actually been reported as a recovery?
So only 2,838 bands have been reported so far as being hunter-harvested recoveries.
Okay, and so you were telling me that 95% of the doves that we band in this state, if they recover, those 2,838, the almost 3,000 birds that have been recovered, that 95% of them were recovered in the state. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. And most are even recovered really close to where they were banded.
Okay. So, fun fact, what's our oldest recovery of a bird?
So, the oldest bird that we've had that was banded in South Carolina, it was recovered in Arkansas in 2013, but it was originally banded in 2003 at Santee Coastal Reserve. So, it was a 10-year-old bird.
And it was banned as a hatch bird, I guess. A hatch year bird?
Yes. So it was banned as a hatch year bird, which means it had just hatched, not the same year. So we do know it was 10 years old.
All right, cool. So we also do recapture data. So birds that you banded in band sites may get recaptured again and go into a trap and they'd be banded already. And for folks that don't know how that works, you put sunflowers, wheat, I've always found that sunflowers are the best bait, but and you put basically it's like a fish trap. The bird can walk in the trap, and the wires are such that it can't figure out how to get out. And then you can take the birds out, band them, and then let them go. And sometimes when you're trying to band them, they'll find that one in a million shot to get out of that hole anyway. The recapture data you were telling me, we have one from where? One of the old ones.
So we had, even this year, we just had a bird that was recaptured at Cracker Neck during this banding season that was originally banded back in 2017 as an after-hatch year bird, which means it wasn't hatched the same year it was banded. We can't distinguish beyond that. But knowing that, that makes the bird at least 9 years old, assuming it was a year when it was banded originally.
Absolutely. So for getting it down to basics for folks, when we band birds, they're banded as hatch year or after hatch year, right? And so hatch year means it's a bird typically that has just been born. This is its first time. You know, it's not a year old yet. It's probably probably a couple weeks old actually. The after hatch year means it's at least a year old and can be any older. So that's interesting. So you sent me some data. We were talking about it. I thought it was very interesting. So there have been, 54 recoveries outside of South Carolina, from Georgia, North Carolina, Florida, Illinois, Alabama, Indiana, Tennessee, Arkansas, Delaware, Kentucky, Louisiana, Ohio, and Virginia Tech, Vermont.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Phil, I'm in the football mood. I was about to say Virginia Tech. VT,
nope.
Got it.
Yeah. Careful now, careful.
I know. So out of the birds that had been banded and recovered elsewhere, you had 19 states in Ontario. Is that correct?
Yeah, so that's for doves that were banded somewhere else, but then they were recovered in South Carolina.
Okay,
and they
so
come
migratory
crazy
birds
far.
That came here. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, it's not so common, but they have come from very far.
So some of those states are what? Tell me some of those.
So some of the more interesting ones would be Montana, Missouri, Wisconsin, Illinois, getting into Louisiana, Arkansas, Iowa.
And that's just birds that are literally migrating here from other states. Right, they end up here. So do we know go ahead.
Of course, of migration or getting blown off course or confused.
I got you. So I know, you talked about this data is basically used to help us determine population and how many birds may have been taken in a year. How does that work? So how does that work as far as how does that help us manage our dove population, if you will?
So by knowing how many birds we banded and how many of them were recovered during the harvest, we can get an idea of what we can apply that to the population as a whole and get an idea of what percentage of the population we think was harvested. So based on band returns last year, just under 10% of the population we believe was harvested.
Okay.
So if we start to see it go up crazy amounts, then that's when we would maybe reconsider the hunting regulations, but I don't think we're anywhere near that.
Okay. So 10% still goes into that category where we used to think it was, you know, out of hunting mortality. And you talked about, I saw, is it 13% of hatch year and 6% of after hatch year?
Yeah.
How does that go into that, work into that?
So it's the same thing with looking at the number of hatch year birds that were banded that were recovered during the hunting season and the number of after hatch year birds. And then we just apply it or scale it up to look at the population.
Okay. So basically what you're saying is last year, 13% of the newborn, the birds are had just been born this year. We took those. Those were taken in fields, and about 6% of older birds were taken.
Yes.
I gotcha. All right. And then, so population estimates, where are we, where was our high? Basically, what was the high?
What was the high population? I don't have the high population in front of me, but on average.
Like long-term average? Yeah.
Oh, the long, yeah. So we do what's called point counts every year in May to estimate the population, where all our staff go out and they count the number of doves they see in a 3-minute period. And we put that data into a model to get a population estimate. So our long-term average of a pre-breeding population is 3.8 million doves a year.
Okay. So I'm going to ask you this because I know that people listening just heard you say that our biologists go out and we counted 3.8 million doves. But we didn't do that.
No.
It's based on, you said 3 minutes. And I'm familiar I used to do the Bob White quail survey, and it was how many times you heard a Bob White call and you recorded that, and that's how they do some population studies there. So how does it work again for doves?
So we have 135 survey points where people count doves, and based on that and the amount of doves that were observed in these small areas for the survey, okay, we scale that up to the state using a model.
Okay, so you said the pre-breeding, you know, our long-term average was 3.8 million. Last year I saw was, it, what, 3.4 million. What does it look like this year?
So this year we came down a little bit in our population estimate at 2.7 million, but the population, we expect to see fluctuation, so we're not concerned about a declining population until we see multiple years in a row of a decline.
Okay, so I know you were talking about with me also, and I remember I wanted to give you a moment to talk about, so when is the high point of their nesting time, breeding and nesting time?
Yes. So when we have doves in hand or a dove wing in hand, we can look at their primary feather molt, and we know they molt their 10 primary feathers on based on previous research. When they are in the sequence of their molt and when we observe them at that time, sorry, I explained that poorly, but we can track back to their hatch date. So based on that data from all these years of banding and as well as doing wing collection at dove fields, we know that the peak of the hatch period is late May to very early August.
So basically June and July pretty much is the main 2 months, little bit of May and a little bit of August. And I know this year has been a really wet year, and I know this from my own just knowledge of doves. They make very weak nests that are easily blown up by the wind. Rain can destroy them. It's actually a miracle that they actually can produce young, but they do it very well. It's hard to believe. Have you ever seen a dove nest? It is literally a very disorganized set of sticks. I mean, very loose. And it will fall out of it. It's hard to believe that they can actually survive, an egg can survive in that. But I know that wet years can be particularly bad for recruitment for young doves because it's just not good for birds in general. Isn't that true, Sarah? Am I wrong?
Right. Yeah, no, you're right.
Oh, give me a little point, Phil. There's a point for me. I did know something there.
Not but, surprised.
I know you're not. But so, Sarah, as we get into that, looking into this dove year, I'm thinking about what folks, you know, would want to know coming up dove season, and you did add a little bit. So, you know, dove season this year is, and this is something I'll remind folks, people always want to know, well, does dove season open up Saturday before Labor Day or Labor Day? Well, this is pretty much how it goes. It's either the first Saturday in September or Labor Day, whichever one comes first. That's how dove season generally has always fallen. The first Saturday in September or Labor Day, whichever one comes first. So this year, it is September the 1st because September the 1st is Labor Day, Monday. So the season opens up on the 1st. Big change, and this was not the first year of that, but folks that have been used to the afternoons only the first couple days of the season, that is no longer the case. The season opens up as it does for the rest of the year. It opens up so you can shoot from a half hour before sunrise until sunset. So 1/2 hour before official sunrise until sunset. There is no morning prohibition of shooting during this season. It wasn't one last year either, but folks are kind of getting used to that still. And I know that's new for a lot of folks. But the first season goes from September 1st through October 1st. October 4th. September 1st through October 4th. And that is all day, again, 30 minutes before sunrise to official sunset. So folks can enjoy dove hunting this year. Again, the daily limit is still 15 birds per day. That's a daily limit. If you go to a morning dove hunt, you can't go to an afternoon dove hunt and take any more birds. If you took 15 in the morning, you can't go to the afternoon and shoot 15 more. It's 15 per day. So make sure that you keep that in mind, because our officers will be looking for that. That was one of the reasons why for years we did the afternoon only, was to prevent people from being able to basically take twice in a day. So now we're kind of on the honor system now. Make sure you don't do that. And our officers will be looking for that. If we check in the morning, we don't want to see you in the afternoon hunting again, unless you didn't get a limit that morning. So again, dove season will open up September the 1st. Couple things for folks to remember about dove hunting. It is a migratory bird, so it's covered by federal law. Federal migratory bird rules apply. Biggest thing for folks wanting to dove hunt, if you've never dove hunting before, what do you need? You need a state hunting license. State hunting license. Do you not have to have a big game permit? You do not have to have anything more than a state hunting license and a HIP, the Harvest Information Program, or the migratory permit, bird permit. That often gets confused with the migratory waterfowl permit, but the migratory bird permit or Harvest Information Program permit is free. It's the one that you always remember asking the questions. How many doves did you shoot last year? How many ducks did you shoot last year? How many geese? It asks all these questions. How many coots, purple gallinules, whatever. Those are the questions for that permit. And again, it is free in this state. So dove hunting is pretty really cheap as far as that goes from a license standpoint. That state hunting license, get that free permit. And then you go, you know, shells are not as expensive. We can still use lead shot in fields for doves, so you can get number 8 shot. Now, shells have gone up. They used to be $6, $7, $4. Now they're up to $8, $9, $10, $11, $12, $13, $14, depending on what size load you get. But the biggest thing is when you go to a dove field, make sure your gun is properly plugged. When we say properly plugged, that means it's incapable of carrying more than 3 shells total. one in the chamber and two in the magazine underneath. That is the maximum you can carry by migratory, by the federal migratory bird law. That is what you're required to do. Again, those are probably the most often laws that people break, is forgetting to check that plug. Again, licensing, making sure they got the HIP permit. So if you are a person that has a lifetime license, you still, you know, that HIP permit you still got to get. That's kind of one of those things a lot of people forget. The gratis license, I believe we finally got to the place where we don't require that for them. Sarah, am I right on that? Do you remember that?
For gratis license? Sure.
But the gratis license, pretty sure we're not requiring you to have a HIP permit now. That's included forever for you as well. But if you have a lifetime license and you're under age 64, you've got to have that HIP permit with you. It's free, but again, you got to go get it. And it's easy to do. You can do it on your phone at GoOutdoorsSC.com. Go out, or go to just GoOutdoorsSC on the App Store, and you'll find that. So it's free to do. Very simple, very easy. So, you know, baiting is one more thing I want to cover before we end the show tonight. You know, we changed the rules years back that the doves and ducks difference on doves, you can shoot doves over a field that has been manipulated to provide seed to more available for the birds. You can shoot over a field that's been bush hogged, a field that has been burned, chopped, tilled, raked. It doesn't really matter on a dove field, for a dove field. You know, waterfowl is a different story. We won't get into that tonight to confuse things. But the big thing is also we changed it. So in October, not yet, but in October, starting October 1st, you can hunt over a field where wheat has been scattered according to the Clemson guidelines. And that's October 1st through the end of November. And that guideline is very simple. You have to have two things. You have to have the field must be tilled to expose the soil so that you have good soil to seed contact. You can't just spread wheat over grass. You've got to disc it up so there's good soil to seed contact, heavily disced soil, and you can spread up to a rate of 200 pounds per acre. Now, I can tell you, somebody that farms, that's a lot of wheat. Most people will do 50 to 100 pounds, and it'll be plenty. But you can do up to 200 pounds. Once you've spread an area, you cannot go back and spread it again. That's the area you can spread. That's it. If you want to disc strips in a field, you can spread wheat on that strip, come back next week, disc a fresh another strip, and spread wheat on that strip. But you can't respread the same area twice. But that does not begin until October 1st. And that is when that begins. So for September, most folks will be shooting over cut cornfields or sunflowers that have been planted for hunting doves over. Now, with that in mind, if you don't have somewhere to go, we have public dove fields across the state. And Sarah, you gave me some pretty neat information. What was our top dove fields last year?
So based on opening day of public dove fields, our five fields that had the highest harvest were Canal, Draper, Toomey, Samworth, and Santee Dam.
And out of those, which one are any of those youth only? Because I don't want to direct folks to one that's the youth only. Is Canal a youth only? Is that
I don't believe so.
Okay. So I know this. The Love Farm will be, again, available this year. They got a really good crop. 3 years ago, it was the number one dove field in the state. First year out of the box, which I was excited about that. But you want to make sure that if you haven't gone there, it's in Richland County. It's a 60-acre field. The field looks great. They really did a beautiful job with sunflowers, corn, and wheat, and millet. A lot of different seed variety there, but it's going to be a lot of excitement there for that field. But again, if you hadn't gone dove hunting, I hope you'll have a good first Labor Day season. Enjoy it. Be safe. Remember, make sure to know where your target zone is, know where your shooting zone is. Shoot within your zone only. When you go to the field, know where everyone else is around you so that you don't shoot outside of your zone. Again, have a safe time and enjoy the hunt.
Fantastic. Major, thank you so much. Great hearing from you. Great job tonight. And hope everybody learned something from what he had to say, along with Sarah. Thank you, Sarah, for being with us as well. And as the Major said, be safe out there. Make sure you know what you're shooting at with your target. That'll do it. We'll see you tomorrow night.